Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. Today, we are going to continue our chat about 19th century opera by taking a closer look at the bel canto era of singing and operatic composition. We will be diving deeper into the works of the main three bel canto composers. These composers are Gioachino Rossini, Vincenzo Bellini, and Gaetano Donizetti. We learned last episode that bel canto literally means beautiful singing in Italian, and that's exactly what defined this era of Italian opera. Flourishing roughly between 1800 and 1840, bel canto prioritized vocal elegance, purity of tone, and expressive, ornamented lines. It was an age when the human voice was really beginning to expand itself. It was becoming more flexible, agile, and capable of breathtaking, emotional nuance. Unlike later operas that emphasized drama above all else, bel canto works centered on the voice itself, hence why it's called bel canto, beautiful singing. The orchestra supported rather than dominated over these voices, and composers wrote specifically long, lyrical melodies designed to showcase a singer's control and artistry. Each aria was kind of an architecture built from what we previously know the architecture of an aria being, a recitative, and then breaking an aria up into two parts, a cantabile and a cabaletta. So a slow section first to convey the feeling, following by a brilliant, fast-paced section displaying the singer's technical fireworks. When we talk about bel canto, three composers stand above all: Rossini, Bellini, and Donizetti. Let's start with talking about Rossini. He was a prodigy, and by his early 20s, he had already conquered the opera world. He was born in 1792, and he was a master craftsman whose works were rhythmic and humorous and had tons of vitality. His comic operas, such as The Barber of Seville or La Cenerentola, revolutionized opera buffa as we knew it. So they had all of these vocal acrobatics with all of the witty ensembles and all of the melodies that we know from what we knew about opera buffa before bel canto. We also know about the Rossini crescendo, which was a musical device where a melodic phrase was repeated with increasing volume, speed, and orchestration in order to create a dramatic and very exciting buildup of sound. But he wasn't all comedy. He has serious operas like Guillaume Tell that showcased his range, which was grand and emotional and quite harmonically adventurous. Specifically, Guillaume Tell pointed towards the next stage of romantic opera, which ultimately paved the way for Verdi. Guillaume Tell is also another case where we have a composer of a different nationality writing something that is not in their native language. Now, yes, we have seen Mozart do that in the century prior with all of his Italian operas, but we now have Rossini, an Italian composer, writing in French, much like Meyerbeer wrote in French, albeit him being German. So Rossini really kind of was the it man. He retired from opera at 37, which seems really young, but once you know that he left behind nearly 40 operas in that time, that's like if he started writing operas before he was born and he did one a year. That's crazy that he basically did more than one a year. So that is just prodigal in a sense. So it was just absolutely defining the sound of this early 19th century Italian opera and Italian music. Now we have Bellini, and he's the second bel canto composer on this list that we have. Born in 1801, he was really attuned to the human voice's natural flow, which makes him a great composer in this bel canto era, because his melodies are long and sighing and beautiful, and they're catchy as well. Bellini's operas, some of which I've mentioned before, Norma, La Sonnambula, and I Puritani, are models of this melodic genius that he has. Now, Norma in particular became a cornerstone of the soprano repertoire. Its aria Casta Diva is one of the most sublime moments in opera, and it's a prayer that demands both technical control and emotional transparency. So, very difficult to sing. And we'll talk about someone who made it quite popular here in a few minutes. But what makes Bellini unique is actually his restraint. His orchestration is so delicate, but it's so expressive in the way that it is delicate and simple. He creates an atmosphere of suspended time. And because of this, composers like Chopin, Wagner, and Verdi all admired him. Wagner even called Bellini's melodies, quote, long, 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 end quote. And he meant it in the highest of praise, if you know how long Wagner's phrases are. But we'll talk about that in a couple episodes. Now, his life was tragically brief as he died at the age of 33, but he really was a great composer and obviously captured the beauty of the voice in its purest form, in my opinion. Donizetti is the third composer, and he was the bridge between this simple elegance of Bellini that ultimately transitioned to the passion of Verdi. He was born in 1797, and in all of his years wrote over 70 operas. So if you thought Rossini was cuckoo crazy for writing 40, 70 is wild. And it wasn't just all one style. He moved effortlessly between writing comedies and tragedies. I mean, he was a dramatist at heart and capable of portraying such psychological depth in a way that foreshadowed Verdi's capability of doing the same thing. One of my favorite operas by Donizetti is Lucia di Lammermoor, and scholars say that perhaps this is also his greatest achievement, a gothic masterpiece of madness and love, to quote some scholars out there. Its famous mad scene is the tour de force of coloratura singing, because it's not just virtuosic in its display. It is also so rooted in the emotion of Lucia's unraveling mind, transforming what is simply just a technique into storytelling. So he also did really well writing comedies. Operas like The Elixir of Love and Don Pasquale are filled with this charm that he has. A specific aria that I love from The Elixir of Love is Una Furtiva Lagrima, and it is just such a beautifully simple aria for tenor that has such emotional sincerity expressed through quite a catchy yet lyrically long melody. So, I've said a lot about the qualities of this era. It's not easy to sing music from this era because bel canto demanded singers who could combine pretty much a flawless technique with this emotional expression. And this was something that was completely new and completely being made up at this point in history. So sopranos like Maria Malibran and Judita Pasta and later Joan Sutherland and Beverly Sills, they became icons for their ability to navigate this music's challenges. Each role that these singers sing required balance, and this was between control and abandon, but also the beauty of the line and the drama of the story. So there was a huge bel canto resurfacing in the 20th century, and this was mostly due to Maria Callas, who was a famous singer of this era. She is the person that I was talking about earlier about who sings Casta Diva. We all know the recording or recordings, but she was the person who led this revival and brought this music back to life. And we still do it, you know, every summer at summer things, at opera companies around the world. It's really just an influence that has never faded. And I think it's because the emphasis on the vocal line and also the emotional sincerity that it takes to sing really was the foundation that ultimately helped us graduate into later Italian opera, like Verdi and Puccini. So, as I have said several times in this episode, the phrase beautiful singing might sound simple, but in bel canto singing, beauty was never just a decoration. It was the way that these singers communicated and still communicate today. Okay, lots about bel canto opera. I suggest highly that you take a look at the list of the operas in the episode notes that I have spoken about today. Unfortunately, I'm trying not to get gigged for copyright, so I can't really post a lot of this music in the episode or even have it for you to hear audibly, but it's really good to kind of hear the style change from Mozart to now what we're hearing with bel canto opera. And even when we go to our next episode, which will be on Wagner and his operas, there's a humongous change there too. So if you're interested in finding out more about this humongous change, join me next time for Between the Bar Lines.